KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, Olivia the Pig, Corduroy the Bear, Fancy Nancy. These are some of the colorful characters that have captured kids' imaginations over the years. And here's another.
My favorite book is Captain Underpants, and I love underpants.
We've asked a librarian, a bookstore owner, an illustrator, and kids to share what makes a good kid's book. And we want to hear from you. What are your children's book recommendations, from the classics to fresh new titles? That's next on Forum. Join us. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, you're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. It never ceases to amaze me that my kids will ask to hear a book three, even four times in one sitting. Ever have that experience? Tell us what those books are, because in this hour of Forum, we're asking you, our listeners, to share books that you've noticed are popular with kids and your favorite children's books as well. And the number to call to make your recommendations is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also post them on our website, kqed.org/forum, on Facebook. You can tweet them to us at KQED Forum, and you can email us at forum@kqed.org. And we've reached out to our younger listener to see what they'd recommend. Let's hear.
My favorite book is called Little by Little.
Why is it your favorite?
Because the bear, Anno, he's really sweet and he learned to swim. And I like swimming.
My favorite book is not a book. It's a magazine, and it's Ranger Rick. I like it because it talks about animals.
Okay, Sam, can you say my favorite book is Knuffle Bunny?
Favorite book is Knuffle Bunny.
Yeah. You say, I love Knuffle Bunny.
I love Knuffle Bunny.
Those were book recommendations from Galit, Auden, and Sam, and we thank them for joining us. And I'd also like to thank our guests who are joining us for the hour. Lauren Savage is the owner of The Reading Bug, a children's bookstore and event space in San Carlos. They also blog about kids' books at readingbugblog.wordpress.com. Good morning, Lauren Savage.
Good morning.
Also joining us is Amy Martin. She's children's collection librarian at the Oakland Public Library. Good morning, Amy Martin.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. And Christian Robinson is with us. He's a children's book illustrator. He illustrated the Newbery Medal winning book Last Stop on Market Street, about a boy who rides the bus in San Francisco with his grandmother. He's a 2016 Caldecott honoree and also received a Coretta Scott King Illustrator Honor, and has also worked with the Sesame Street Workshop and Pixar Animation Studios. Good morning, Christian Robinson.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here as well. Well, let's start with you, Christian. I want to hear what some of your favorite kids' books are.
Okay, so, as someone who makes picture books today and is always thinking about them, I can say, growing up, one of my favorite children's books, and still today, is titled Are You My Mother? By P.D. Eastman.
And what is it about that book and the pictures in it that make it your favorite?
Yeah, I think it was just one of those stories that you meant that I heard earlier that you just kind of keep picking up and looking at over and over. I think as a kid, the idea of being lost is very terrifying, or losing, you know, your loved one or your caretaker. And I think that just probably stuck with me. So it was almost like that fear aspect that kind of kept bringing me back, and then having the relief of the end, which I won't ruin.
Well, let's hope it's happy.
Yeah.
Well, Christian, thanks for sharing that. Lauren Savage, how about you?
So I have many, so you can stop me anytime. But so I picked something for almost each age group that we focus on at the Reading Bug, and starting with Here We Are, Notes for Living on Planet Earth. And that's by Oliver Jeffers, just coming out this week. And this is my new go-to baby gift. It's a beautiful book. It is so poignant in its description of the world and all the different kinds of people and families that inhabit the Earth and maybe even beyond. He draws all these beautiful characters in all different colors all over the place.
And I like how you say it's your go-to baby gift because the holidays are right around the corner and books are great kids' gifts, I find.
Yes, yes. And we're very excited, too, because Oliver Jeffers is coming to our store on December 2nd, so there'll be signed copies for the go-to baby gift, which is great. So many others, but for picture books, The Lion Inside by Rachel Bright and her new one, The Koala Who Could. These are rhyming books, and I think rhyming is very important for kids, especially starting at a very young age, because it builds their confidence. And you mentioned that they want to hear the same books over and over again. And that's so true. And when they start to hear those rhyming books, I feel like they get into this rhythm and they make this educated guess as to what's coming next in the story.
Well, picture books, since we're on that topic, Amy Martin, do you have any that you'd like to recommend?
Oh, sure. I think one that is going to become one of my favorites this year is Accidents by Andrea Tsurumi. It is about an armadillo named Lola who spills her juice on a chair and immediately cries out that it's a catastrophe and runs away to the library, which I love, and meets a bunch of other animals along the way who've had terrible accidents. I read this yesterday, and I just couldn't stop smiling. It's a really beautifully illustrated book, and talking about repeat readings, you adults will know there are those books that you love reading over and over again and books that you never want to see again. I think this is one that lends itself well to repeat readings, both for kids and adults, because there are so many funny new details to discover in the pictures.
The fact that pictures are such an important component of children's books is something that I feel like, Christian Robinson, you've really illustrated. I mean, you're an illustrator, but also you said growing up you really weren't much of a reader.
Yeah, I think, children connect to books in different ways. Yeah, growing up, I struggled learning how to read and really didn't connect with the story unless there were lots of illustrations. That's kind of how I engaged. That's how I felt most comfortable kind of following the story is with the pictures.
Well, we've got a lot of calls coming in, so let me get to some of them right now. I'll start with Camaria in Oakland. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are.
Well, what is your recommendation and why?
As a child, my favorite children's book was The Owl and the Pussycat. And as an adult, my favorite children's book is My City is Oakland.
Who writes My City is Oakland?
It's actually my book.
And what's your last name, Camaria?
Lofton, L-O-F-T-O-N.
And tell us what it has in it.
So My City is Oakland, it's a children's book that takes you through the city of Oakland, through all of the historic locations and landmarks that pretty much no matter when you were born in Oakland, you would be able to relate to it and remember those experiences as a child.
Yes, the need for children to really see themselves in books, Amy Martin, how significant is that for children in terms of connecting with the story?
It's pretty crucial. It's something we talk a lot about in Oakland Public Library. We really emphasize diversity in the books that we choose. Oakland is an incredibly diverse city, and so we try to have representation on our shelves. And you'll notice if you go into our branches that you will see a lot of black and brown skinned children on the covers of the books that we have on display. We really want our patrons to come in and see themselves. I liked what Christian Robinson had to say, both about being slightly afraid of his favorite book as a child and also not being a big reader as a child. And I think there's something noteworthy about books that inspire a little bit of fear, because when I started thinking about what were my favorite books when I was a child, the ones that came to mind first are the ones that scared me a little bit. And I know one of my favorite books to read out loud at story time is Pierre by Maurice Sendak. And the point of that book is kind of long. It's very tiny.
Yes.
And the point of that book that always grabs the audience is when the lion asks Pierre if he wants to die. something about that that fear that all children have an experience but is so rarely acknowledged in a children's book, I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Yes, that is, Pierre is a great one, and also Maurice Sendak definitely has gotten a lot of props over the years, but of course for Where the Wild Things Are, which always feels like a perennial favorite among parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go next to Kevin in Danville. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What would you like to recommend?
Oh, this is a great topic. When I heard it, I had to jump on the phone. For all my kids growing up, I read them a book called Scranimal Island. It's this kind of mythical island where you have these combinations of like an animal and a plant or an animal and a fruit. So you have like orangutan tangerines and avocado do birds and really fun rhyming. Just a really, really great book.
Well, while we're on the topic of animals, let's hear from some more of our young listeners.
My favorite book is What Pet I Should Get by Dr. Seuss, and because it has funny rhymes in it and stuff.
My favorite book is Animal Encyclopedia because it teaches you a lot about where animals live, what animals do, what types of animals there are, and just like other things about animals.
My name is Nia, and my favorite book is Firebird because it teaches me lots of lessons, and it can make me, and when people be loud, it gives me very good balance. And on my ballet shoes, it gave me more good balance.
My name is Isaiah, and my favorite book is Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because it has so much sad endings and so much happy endings.
Oh my God.
And then, wait. Namaste.
Those are book recommendations from Amar, Amaya, Nia, and Isaiah. And full disclosure, Amaya is my daughter. And while we're on the topic of animals, first of all, they really seem to grab kids in a big way. Christian Robson, do you have any animal books you want to recommend?
Let's see. Oh, I love animal books. One of my favorites is titled Swimmy by Leo Leone.
Mm-hmm.
And if an animal book that I was able to work on is titled Gaston by Kelly DiPuccio.
Tell me why Leo Leone is one of your favorite illustrators, Christian Robinson.
I think he's just his style is just very playful, and as an illustrator, it's also very kind of experimental. Like you can really see the materials he's using. Sometimes he'll use a doily and make a print out of that, or just all sorts of collaging and just mixed media. And I just love that play and that energy that you really see in his work.
Well, Jessica writes, I will forever love The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And I think that was also a breakthrough, or at least Eric Carle was a breakthrough illustrator because of his use of paper and so on. So there's one. And then we're getting a lot. Joe Ellen recommends When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit by Judith Kerr, a child's insightful experience of fleeing Germany in the time of the Nazis. Half Magic by Edward Eger and The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis is my favorite of the Narnia series because it explains how Narnia came to be. I am 68 and still love these books. And Laurel, she's 9. She says, I really like Wonder by R.J. Palacio. It's the story of a boy with a facial deformation. Oh, yes. And the story is told from his perspective and then from lots of other people's perspective. I like it because it is happy, it's sad, it's inspiring, and it's funny. It's a great book. Wonder. Any thoughts on Wonder, Amy or Lauren? Lauren.
Yeah. So, Wonder, came out a couple of years ago now, and it's still going strong, and there's the movie coming out and everything else.
Yes.
This child has this deformation and needs to be in a real school, and it's really hard for him to be accepted by others. And I think, being accepted is what every child wants. And there's so many books. Actually, The Wish Tree is another one about acceptance that might be a good one to talk about as well. And it's told from the perspective of a tree. And the tree actually talks. And in this book, there's two children who are living in a neighborhood. A new family moves in. And when that new family moves in, not everyone's very welcoming. And finding that acceptance and finding that place in life is just such a hard thing to do.
And who wrote Wish Tree?
Wish Tree's by Catherine Applegate, and it's brand new. It's a beautiful story. And there's actually even fun facts about trees that you might not even know about and how they live and die and what parts of the tree are alive at certain times. And but very interesting perspective to have the tree and then have the children be the secondary characters.
Well, Amy Martin, let's hear a few more from you.
Sure. Actually, one of the ones on my list is called When's My Birthday? It's by Julie Fogliano and illustrated by Christian Robinson.
Ah.
Embarrassing myself a tiny bit. But it's a really beautiful book. The illustrations, to me, evoke the golden age of children's illustration back in the days of early golden books when we were seeing these really bright sort of flat colors paired with matte backgrounds. They're really beautiful, and it's a very cheerful book, too. On a completely different end of the spectrum, just this week I read a book that I think is going to be one of my favorites for the year, and it's The 57 Bus by Dashka Slater. This is the true story of a very tragic incident in Oakland in 2013 where two teenagers rode a bus together, both from Oakland but from very, very different worlds within Oakland, and their lives intersect in a very abrupt and violent way and are both changed forever. One of the teenagers in the story is white and agender and from an affluent family. The other is African-American and has lived a life with a great deal of hardship and loss. And in addition to the story, which I'm sure many people around here recall, Dashka Slater also goes into the intricacies of gender identity and how those things are coming out in ways that we've never really talked about for young people before, and also about the racial differences and the class gaps that exist within a single city, which I'm sure is true not just of Oakland, but of many cities.
And, well, Michael Krasny interviewed the author Dashka Slater a few days ago. What age group would you say the 57 Bus is geared at, Amy Martin?
I was thinking about this morning that it might be actually a good book for a parent and a young teenager to read together. Maybe to read side by side and discuss as they go along. I think that there's a lot of language in the book that's really helpful both for talking about race and for talking about class differences and for gender variance. And I think that it's something that a lot of people are really having to reshape their language around. So I think it might be a great one for a parent and maybe a child who's 12 or a little older to read at the same time. I enjoyed it terrifically as an adult, and it was informative for me. So I think really maybe 12 on up.
Well, Christian Robinson, Amy Martin mentioned the book you illustrated, When's My Birthday? And this book is about a diverse group of children, you know, bubbling over with excitement about their upcoming birthdays. And as we talk about diversity, I'm remembering something you said where you felt like books that focus explicitly on diversity can have an element of heaviness to it. And I was wondering what you meant by that and how you address that.
I mean, I work in pictures, and the way I see it, like, pictures are tools designed to communicate messages and ideas. And so it's important for me as an illustrator of children's books to make sure that I'm communicating messages to children that empower them and, you know, make them feel validated and seen and like that they matter. And so I'm definitely coming at illustrating with that perspective, but I'm always reminded that at the end of the day, it has to be something that grabs kids, that appeals to them. And I think, you know, of course, story has to play a huge role in connecting with them and resonating with them. And so when I illustrate, I almost think of it as me creating something that I think kids might want, but also something I feel they might need at the same time.
And we are getting more recommendations from listeners on the phone. Let's go next to Travis in Sacramento. Hi, Travis.
Hello. Thank you. One of the books that initially was I Love You, Stinky Face. It's pretty playful, and the pictures are really good. It's good for putting them to bed at night. And then another book that I wanted to mention, since you guys are talking about issues in children's books, was Why Is My Dad So Mad? It has to do with PTSD and how it relates to children and stuff and the household.
Well, Travis, thanks for those recommendations. Let's go to PJ in Castro Valley. Hi, PJ.
Hey, I just wanted to recommend The Great Kapok Tree by Lynn Cherry. It's a great story about a guy who goes into a forest to cut down the biggest tree for financial gain. And while he takes a nap, because the tree is so large, all of the animals come and visit him. And they each tell him how it benefits them as an individual and how, like, as a community, it's very important to them. And when he wakes up, he decides that it's not worth, it's worth more to the community than it is to him as an individual. So The Great Kapok Tree is a favorite.
Well, PJ, thanks. Natalia, she's seven. She says, I love the Boxcar Children series by Gertrude Chandler Warner. They are orphans. They live in an old boxcar. They have to live on what they find. I really love it because it has a lot of suspense. And Daniel, age four, says, Locomotive is my favorite book. It talks about trains. You know, I love this because I wonder, Amy Martin, do you feel like adults tend to be focused on children's books or what makes a good children's book is having some kind of quality to it that has either a social justice quality or maybe a moral lesson?
We definitely encounter those adults in the libraries who want every children's book to come with a moral lesson. And one thing that is common to children's books is that they do tend to have a rising positive value that comes out of the end, whether that's a moral lesson or a funny joke or a happy ending or a not happy ending, but something uplifting about it. It's one of the reasons that I really enjoy reading children's books.
Yes, and in terms of your store, Lauren Savage, do you see that as well in terms of parents asking for something with a very particular message?
Yeah, I'm sometimes in store for sure. In fact, so we started this nationwide subscription box service, so I get to hear from people all over the country, which is neat. It's just not California. And so it's readingbugbox.com. And what we do there is we have everything is based by age and interest of the child. And sometimes the parents will write to us and say, we definitely want books that will teach our children lessons and morals. And I think that's really important. Some will say they want something about girl power. And that's a really big one, especially here in California, but also all over the world. And actually, one of those books is Hildy Cracks the Case. That's a great series based on a real life 10-year-old reporter. And her name's Hildy Lisiak. And I think in this age of like fake news and everything going on in the political climate, something like this is really interesting. This girl just comes out there and she's chasing after the news. And it's really accessible for a lot of different ages. I mean, I think starting at age six for a read aloud all the way up to age 10.
Do you have other thoughts, Amy Martin, on books that address our political climate that are good for kids?
Actually, we have seen quite a few of good releases come out since then. One author that I'll mention who's local is Maya Cristina Gonzalez. Right after the election, she began writing a book called When a Bully is President. Yes. It is now out. It's published. It's in Oakland libraries. It is a bilingual book, English and Spanish, and it talks in a very gentle and approachable way for very young children about what you can do when you see a person who's in charge of the country, who's treating people very poorly. It talks about sort of endemic bullying that's been a part of our nation for a long time, including oppression of people of color and Native people. It's one I would definitely recommend, and I know that she has a couple others coming out very soon that are on similar topics.
Amy Martin is the Children's Collection Librarian at the Oakland Public Library. We're also talking with Lauren Savage, owner of The Reading Bug in San Carlos, and Christian Robinson, an illustrator who illustrated the award-winning book Last Stop on Market Street, among others. We'll have more of your recommendations for great children's books after the break. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.
My favorite book is Cats Are Cells because the monkeys steal the cats. And it's really fun because the owner is doing stuff with the monkeys are copying and he wants his cats to come back, except the monkeys are taking them and then he copies it. And until he throws his cap on the ground, then he picks up all of them and puts them on his head.
My favorite book that I've read is called Goosebumps Slappy World Attack of the Jack. Why, it is so funny. One part is where this guy says, Slappy here, everyone. Welcome to Slappy World. Yes, it's Slappy's world. You only scream in it.
Those were book suggestions from Joaquin and Elijah, and we want to hear your suggestions as well. We're talking children's books this hour. We want to know which ones are popular with your kids and which ones are popular with you, and maybe what you think makes a good children's book. We're talking with Lauren Savage, owner of The Reading Bug, a children's bookstore and event space in San Carlos, and she has a blog, readingbugblog.wordpress.com. We're also talking with Amy Martin, the children's collection librarian at the Oakland Public Library, and Christian Robinson, a children's book illustrator who illustrated Last Stop on Market Street. He's also a 2016 Caldecott honoree and received a Coretta Scott King Illustrator Honor, and he's worked with Sesame Street Workshop and Pixar Animation Studios. And we're talking with you, our listeners. Eric writes, "Once I was very, very scared is especially good for kids who have experienced something scary and upsetting. It features a bunch of cute animals that each respond to being scared in a different way." And another listener recommends, "When I was really tiny, my favorite book was Richard Scarry's What Do People Do All Day? I love the fact that each character had its own little personalized car. The baker had a bread-shaped one, the worm had an apple-shaped one, etc. And the way he drew the houses with a wall removed so that you could see into each room." And you can post your favorites on our website, kqed.org/forum. You can email them to us at forum@kqed.org. You can post them on Facebook and on Twitter. And you can call us at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. And on the line right now, we have Sarah Wigglesworth. She's a children's book buyer at Green Apple Books in San Francisco. Hi, Sarah Wigglesworth.
Hi, Mina.
So, Sarah, first tell me what you look for when you buy kids' books.
Well, I try to buy as diversely as possible. I'm always looking at, like, art and the stories. Some books have, like, kind of a more meaning of life sort of appeal to them, whereas some books are more about the story.
Hmm. A couple examples?
So a good meaning of life book is Cynthia Rylant's new book, Life. It's really gorgeous, about animals, and kind of has a metaphor for going through life. And I really like Julia Donaldson's new book, Zog and the Flying Doctors, which is just a fantasy book that has also a really good message about, you know, women and princesses being able to do more than just be pretty and knit. So,
what do you find is popular among the clientele at Green Apple?
There's a lot of different things that are very popular right now.
Is there like a trend you're noticing? Yes, go ahead.
I think has been a really good thing is there's a lot of picture books that have, they're kind of a mixture of graphic novels and picture books so that each character has its own word bubble so that kids can see like who's saying what. So that's really cool.
You mentioned Ruth Bader Ginsburg for kids as one to our producer that you wanted to highlight.
Yes.
Are biographies, resonating with buyers?
Yes. There's a lot of really cool biographies out right now. It's really, we have a couple of different Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We have Malala. And then there's also, like, you know, some of our favorite heroes, but also there's, like, lesser-known histories. Like, I have one about George Crumb, who was the inventor of potato chips, you know? And so they're really cute and fun, and they can kind of highlight the stories of, like, people of color and women that we might not get to hear usually, you know? And especially for kids who, you know, they get the presidents in school, right? But it's kind of cool to see our own heroes or people we've never even heard about as adults, you know?
You mentioned graphic novels. I feel like I'm seeing a lot more of them, both in the adult space and in the kids' space or the middle school space. Is that a trend you're noticing as well in terms of something that parents and kids are getting into?
Yeah, I love graphic novels personally. And I think that, you know, a lot of parents feel worried that, you know, they want their kids to read chapter books at a certain age, you know, and that's great and definitely something to push for. But, you know, when you turn 9, you don't just, like, grow out of pictures, you know. Like, you know, picture books are often, like, set for age 3 to 8, you know, but it's still really great to have that, you know, literacy can grow with graphic novels, you know, and I really like that.
Well, give us one or two more recommendations before I let you go.
So one of my favorites right now is On a Magical Do-Nothing Day by Beatrice I'm going to mess up her last name, but Alla Magna, and she's just really great, and it's a fun one. And a fun one for kids is The World's Biggest Fart by Rafael Ordonez, and that one has a little bit of a surprise ending, and I hope you guys check it out.
Well, Sarah Wigglesworth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mina.
Well, let's go next to more of our callers. Carol in San Jose, what do you want to recommend?
Hi, I want to recommend two books, and they're both old. I'm grandmother, and of course, and the first of them is, of course, Wild Things. And the fun part about what I did with my sons, who were fairly crazy and still are, is when we get to the part where they had the wild rumpus, we would have a wild rumpus. I would say, okay, open and slam the front door, flush the toilets, turn on the faucets, open the cupboards and slam them, and, you know, get out pans and bang them, and this is to get them to go to sleep, right? They loved it. And, you know, the more of the things of, like, don't slam the door, you know, all that stuff. Oh, and turn, switch lights off and on, and, you know, look under couch cushions. And so this went on, you know, like, for some time, and they were so exhausted, they all went right sleep. But, so that's another way to look at Wild Rumpus. But the other one is I've very seldom heard of. It's called Jerome. And I'm sorry, I don't know the answer, the author, but it's probably easy to find. Jerome's a frog who believes himself to be a prince, and nobody else believes him. And he goes and he gets tasks assigned to him, and he solves them all by logic. And finally, they say, "My gosh, maybe he really is a prince." And he gets to live in a castle. And these are the last lines. And I can say any part of these words to my sons in their 50s right now, and they'll complete the line for you. And he went to live in a castle that was green and summery and full of flies.
Well, Carol, thank you. I can imagine how you sound when you read the books. It's great to hear your energy and appreciate those recommendations. Let's go to Virginia in San Jose. Hi, Virginia.
Hello. The books I wanted to recommend are ones that my kids, who are now adults in their 40s and 50s, the Jolly Roger Bradfield books, like Pickle Chiffon Pie and Giants Come in Different Sizes, The Flying Hockey Stick, and The Thirsty Camel. And they were all just such fun books with wonderful illustrations. My kids love them, especially my daughters. They still want to read them to their children. And another one that they really enjoyed was Old Black Witch by Wendy Devlin. And I used to always change my voice for the different characters in the books. So that's what they really liked, and they wanted me to record Old Black Witch so that they could play it for their children because they enjoyed hearing me use the different voices. Mm-hmm. And another one that was good is the Golden Book of Poetry. My one daughter especially has memorized most of the poetry in that book and loves to repeat it.
Well, Virginia... One more.
When I was young, which is ancient history, was called Manners Can Be Fun, and I don't believe it's available, but it was really cute, and I loved it because the illustrations in it were like they were drawn by like a four-year-old.
Well, Virginia, thanks for those recommendations. And I should note that we'll put up a list of the books mentioned during the hour at our website, kqed.org/forum. We do need a bit of time to compile the list, so we'll try to have it up to you by this afternoon. So check on our website for that. And let me go now to Hope in San Francisco. Hi, Hope.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say children's books, it's just amazing all the variety that's available nowadays. I've just recently become a children's elementary school librarian, and I've been enjoying reading the California Young Reader nominees to the students. And Christian Robinson has a book in it, too, called Gaston, which is great. But I wanted to really recommend The Book with No Pictures, especially since you guys were talking about
of course, the value of pictures, they're beautiful. The art in books nowadays is amazing. But the book with no pictures, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with, but if they're not, it's just tons of fun to read aloud. It's by B.J. Novak, and it's really, the kids love it. It just has the adults saying all kinds of crazy things, like, I have a blueberry pizza on my face, and I'm a monkey who taught myself to read, and it's really fun. And I just wanted to mention two other books. One from when I was a kid, a previous listener had mentioned Richard Scarry, but I just really loved Richard Scarry, like Busy Town. It was a really large book, and when I was a kid, I'd take it, you know, into bed with me and look at all the little pictures and Lowly Worm, and I just love them. Even now, just the other day, I was in a store, and I picked up a book about Lowly Worm, and those, I think those pictures are amazing. And then finally, when my son was little, I used to read all of Kevin Hankey's books, and I loved them. Maybe people know Lily and Plastic Purse, but Owen is a really cute story about a boy who won't give up his blanket, and then he's going into kindergarten and he really won't give it up. And finally, they have a really fun solution for it. So anyway, thank you for your program.
Well, thank you, Hope, for those suggestions. And again, you can call us at 866-733-6786 to make them. And also you can email us forum@kqed.org and post them on our website and on Facebook and on Twitter. Christian Robinson, we've heard your name come up a lot. And I'm wondering if you could share with us a few illustrators that you particularly like that we should be, you know, on the lookout for as we shop for books.
Oh, yeah. So actually, a few were mentioned. The person at Golden Book mentioned Life by Cynthia Ryland, which was illustrated by Brendan Wenzel, who I love. He actually won the Caldecott this year for his book, They All Saw a Cat. And I love Beatrice Alemania, who was also mentioned. Gayo Fujisawa.
Yeah, Fujisawa, yeah.
Yeah, she's a Japanese-American illustrator, and I love her work because she was kind of one of the first to really showcase a really inclusive cast of kids in a picture book. I love, of course, Ezra Jack Keats, Bruno Munari, Paul Rand, so many.
And The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats made the top of your list. And I'll be honest, it's one of my favorites, in part because I grew up in a very cold place in Newfoundland. And so The Snowy Day was one of the few books that actually illustrated what my experience was of snow. But I'm curious why it spoke to you, Christian Robinson.
Well, I mean, okay, so if I'm honest, I didn't actually grow up with that book. I only became aware of it afterwards. And I, too, grew up in California and never experienced snow until I was, like, in my 20s. So I think it was definitely the illustrations that appealed to me. Just I loved his play, his use of collage and patterns, and it totally inspires me today.
Lauren Savage, we heard Sarah Wigglesworth talk about graphic novels, and you had one on your list.
Yeah. So I have All's Fair in Middle School, and this one is a really great one about friendship and courage. And it's great for fans of the Babysitter's Club series. Raina Telgemeier actually redid those in graphic novel format. They were originally written by Anna Martin. And also, if you're a fan of Jennifer Holm did the Squish series of graphic novels for very young, and she also has some great middle grade stuff out right now. But this one, All's Fair in Middle School, is by Victoria Jameson. And it's about a girl whose parents are working in a Renaissance fair. And she's going to begin training as a squire. But she's also, at the same time, about to start public school. She's been homeschooled. And she needs to learn how to be brave, not only to be a squire, but also to go to school and be accepted by others. And it's a great story of friendship and learning about how to be kind to one another.
Well, I think Rick in Oakland has a graphic novel recommendation. Rick?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I wanted to recommend the Hilo novels. The series of graphic novels by Judd Winnick, and he writes them and draws them. And I was a big comic book reader as a kid, but most comic books now really aren't appropriate for kids. And these graphic novels are great. My third grade daughter just started picking them up. My son's been reading them for years. He's 12, and they're about friendship and loyalty. They have a really diverse group of characters that are sort of casually diverse. It's not diversity isn't something that's sort of brought up as an issue to be addressed. It's got interdimensional rifts and sentient killer robots. They're just great fun.
Well, Rick, thanks for that. Amy Martin, Rick's point about superheroes and comic books these days is sort of underscored here by this question from a listener who writes, how do you know if a book is age appropriate for your child? My 3.5-year-old likes a lot of books intended for older kids, the DC Superhero Girls series, for example.
Well, that's a great question. One thing that you can always do is ask your local librarian for suggestions. Of course, I have to say that, but it's true that we're a free resource. We get asked constantly about finding books for certain age levels. On our website, oaklandlibrary.org/kids, you can find a section called Great Reads, and we actually have books by age group that we recommend, and those come from Oakland librarians. There's an emphasis on diversity within those lists. That's great. But I think that my direct answer to that question is that sometimes you just won't know. Sometimes you'll start reading a book, and either your child's interest won't stay, or you'll see them start to have emotional reactions that are stronger than you feel is appropriate or healthy for them. And at that point, you can pause, and you can say, well, maybe we'll do this one later.
Well, Soror writes, Why Mosquitoes Buzz in People's Ears. It is a West African tale. That's Soror's recommendation. Justin writes, I loved reading anything from Mo Willems to my boys because the belly laughs coming from my 3-year and 4-year-old sons will be with me forever. Francisco writes, My daughters, Isabella and Daniela, age 8 and 11, love all of author Mac Barnett's books. Both girls are reading part 2 of The Terrible Two. This is about two boys that have a prank war in school, and my girls are just loving it. Laura writes, My son is 7 years old, and he's currently immersed in the Spy School series by Stuart Gibbs. We've read all of them together, and he also listens to the audiobooks over and over. He's on his 5th time now. My 3-year-old daughter loves the 3 wonderful books by Andrea Beatty, Iggy Peck, Architect, Ada Twist, Scientist, and Rosie Revere, Engineer. One of the things that I heard from our callers, Amy Martin, and also in some of these books, is the importance of interactivity when you're actually reading them. It feels like that is what stayed with people in terms of books that have really left an impression.
Yeah, I think that books that give children a chance to become involved in the telling of the story have more of a chance to make an impression on their minds. I have a video on my phone that I've saved for years and years of my nephew and his mother reading Press Here by Hergé, I think it's pronounced. And that's a book that it's become a huge favorite in our libraries and with any kid I read it to. Each page has a series of dots. And it says, press here, and kids will press the dot, and then you turn the page, and the dot has changed. Of course, to anyone who's old enough, it's obvious that you're just turning the page, and it's different. But to children, it really is magic. It's magic that these dots are growing and changing, and the lights go out. It's wonderful.
Lauren Savage, are you seeing a growing appetite for e-books or things on tablet as opposed to paper books?
Not in the kids' world. I think that that's actually the nice thing about having a children's bookstore as opposed to a general store. It's a little bit harder, I think, for the adult side to sell them. Because, when you're traveling, I tend to pack a big stack of books for my kids. But for myself, I might have a reader. Although not me, really. I like my chapter books and I like to hold them in my hand physically. But I do see a little bit of a trend there that I think ebooks have declined pretty dramatically. They went up and then they went down. But especially for kids, they like to have that physical book too. And I think that's really important for the interactivity, just like the woman was saying about where the wild things are. I mean, creating that wild rumpus at home, how fun is that? And to make those connections with your child and bonding when you're reading that way is so much fun. I actually write books with music, and music is a great way to keep them interactive. Well, my own book is Duck and Goose Let's Dance, the shameless plug. Tad Hills wrote the book and I wrote the music for that. And it's a great way to get kids dancing and jumping up and down and having fun with it. And they really want to pick up that physical book and see the pictures and touch the pages.
I also find books with a lot of onomatopoeia is really popular with kids as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear from Erica in Santa Cruz. Hi, Erica.
Hi, thank you. I'm a grandma and I have a 6-year-old granddaughter who always wants scary books, which I don't understand, but they're hard to find. Do you have any suggestions?
Suggestions for scary books. Christian Robinson, any scary books come to mind?
I think the scary book I loved growing up was, and it's still pretty popular, it's like a Sesame Street Golden Book thing, and it's called like there's a monster at the end of this book, and it's with Grover the monster from Sesame Street. Does it sound familiar to anyone?
Yes,
and the monster. Spoiler alert, ends up being Grover himself or something like that. I think I remember this one. That's a good one for a 5-year-old. And Lauren Savage.
I have a great one, actually, by William Joyce. It's called Ollie's Odyssey. And it's kind of this epic story about a 6-year-old boy named Billy. And he has a stuffed animal, Ollie. And the story is about Ollie getting kidnapped by an army of creeps. And they're made from bits of trash. So this isn't all out scary, I would say. And I think when a kid says they're looking for a scary book, they may not quite know what they're looking for. Like, they don't want to be terrorized and have nightmares. But this one has a little bit of a Tim Burton-esque kind of feel to it. Very different from some of the stuff that William Joyce does. The tables get turned when the creeps actually kidnap the boy and the stuffed animal has to save the boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Erica. And April asks, my daughter is in third grade and struggles with reading. Most of her peers are reading chapter books. Just last night, she said, I just want to be able to read a chapter book. I'd love to find an easy reader that is in the form of a chapter book. She's at about level one, if that means anything. Amy Martin, do you have any thoughts for April?
Oh, I have a great one. It's called The Cat on the Mat Is Flat by Andy Griffiths. It's a big bound chapter book, but the words are very minimal, and it's illustrated with cartoons. It's hilarious. It's a good one for kids who are developing their reading skills. And I'll say that this parent is absolutely not alone. There are so many parents who see their kids struggling with reading. I think that finding reading that's fun for your family, maybe you have a family reading night where you have popcorn and games and you read books out loud together, introducing that element of fun can be really helpful in getting kids over the hump of starting to read. It may not improve her skills in terms of chapter books, but it may, if she's having trouble and acknowledging that she wants to read chapter books, it means that she's starting to feel some negative feelings around it. Mm-hmm. So I think that a family can do a great job by countering the feelings of negativity and I'm not good enough by having reading in a positive, fun setting.
Well, let's hear next from Carrie in Livermore. Hi, Carrie.
Oh my gosh. Hi. So I'm a grandmother and I have a 2-year-old grandson and I am not a rap aficionado, but there's a great book series out there. And the first book is Pout Pout Fish. And when my grandson was a teeny baby, I just thought, well, I'm going to update myself a little bit. And I do it to a rap song. Like, I'll start with boom, 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 boom. I'm a pout, pout fish with a pout, pout face and a splendid of gloomy gloomies all over the place. Boom, boom. And he loves it. And I've threatened to put it on YouTube, and my husband's just not for that. But thank you.
But yes, you're underscoring the importance of rhythm and rhyming and pacing in children's books. Thanks for that, Carrie. And Leticia in San Francisco. Hi, Leticia.
Hi, thank you. My
Leticia.
Sons and I love Leticia, yes, thank you. My sons and I love A Movie in My Pillow, or really any book by local author Jorge Argueta. Mm. For me, it was the first time reading a book about someone from El Salvador. My parents are from El Salvador, and he also grew up in the mission once he arrived. So it was a really monumental story to see in a picture book that was bilingual. And he has published many books since about food, about El Salvador. So I highly recommend any book by Jorge Argueta. Thank you.
Thank you, Leticia. Let's go next to Karen in Berkeley. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of recommendations. One is Jim Trelease's Read Aloud Handbook. As a mother 30-plus years ago, I found that book. I actually went to a lecture he was giving, and he does a fabulous job not only with lists of books that he has new editions out about, but he also talks about the importance of reading aloud to your kids on a regular basis. And I still give that book at baby showers on a regular basis. It's just I think it's an inspiring read for young parents. And then the second thing is, I always, in addition to print books, use flammaboard stories to tell stories to my kids. As a teacher, I use the flammaboards, and as a Peace Corps volunteer teaching English, I use flammaboards. And it's just a fabulous way to tell a story and get the kids involved in a really creative and interactive way. So I just wanted to put that out there in this great discussion about children's literature.
Well, Karen, thank you for that. I appreciate it. We've got Sally recommending Pinkalicious. My kids want to hear it over and over again. Jenny writes, my possible all-time favorite is Open House for Butterflies by Ruth Krauss and illustrated by Maurice Sendak. Ruth Krauss has a magical way of talking on a child's level, not talking down to them. And a listener recommends The Story of Ferdinand, a book written during the Spanish Civil War about a bull that refuses to fight and just wants to smell flowers. Beautiful illustrations and a deeply moving call for pacifism. Still moving for every former kid in my family, including a combat vet. And Genevieve writes, Dr. Seuss's The Sleep Book and Maurice Sendak's In the Night Kitchen. When I was a geeky kid, I read the Children's World Book Encyclopedia volumes over and over. Well, we just have a minute left. I'd like to just go around our little room here and have each of you just make one last recommendation. Lauren Savage, I'll start with you.
Sure. Well, I'm going to go with my favorite. George Shrinks was my favorite when I was a little girl, also by William Joyce. And I got it signed, my first signed copy of an author signed copy book when I was little.
Amy Martin, how about you?
Amina's Voice by Hina Khan. It is the debut novel from Simon & Schuster's new imprint, Salam Reads, which is focused on Muslim authors and illustrators. And so this is a new one. It came out just this year. It's a young girl, a Pakistani-American Muslim girl, dealing with a fight with her best friend. And at the same time, her family's mosque has been vandalized. It's an important story for today.
And Christian Robinson, your recommendation, your final recommendation.
The Book of Mistakes by Karina Lucan. As a young artist, or many young people, we kind of get scared about being creative and putting ourselves out there. But this book kind of lets you know that it's okay to make mistakes and that, you know, good things can come from those mistakes.
Well, Christian Robinson, Amy Martin, Lauren Savage, thank you so much to all of you for joining us and giving us your recommendations. And also thank you to our listeners for all of theirs. And again, we'll put up a list of the books mentioned during the hour at our website, kqed.org/forum. I'm Mina Kim. Have a great weekend.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.